Okay, enough forward-looking tech talk. How about a high-tech device for looking backward? I'm talking about a rear-view mirror. In many cars, there's now an in-mirror video display. Michigan Radio's Lindsay Smith reports now on that device and a company that's banking on it.
Located in the small town of Zeeland in western Michigan, Gentex designs and builds rear-view mirrors with embedded video displays, sort of like a TV with picture-in-picture. That built-in screen displays the picture from a tiny camera mounted on the back of the vehicle. Craig Piersma directs product marketing at Gentex. He's pointing out one of the new mirrors with a full-color display.
What you're looking at there is a 3.3-inch diagonal display. It's a backlit LED display, so it's very high resolution and it's very high brightness. Behind those displays are 80 individual white LEDs that provide the backlighting illumination.
Gentex has years of experience putting high-tech features into low-tech mirrors. It's been making rearview mirrors that automatically dim for nighttime driving for more than 20 years.
The science of electrochromics is what's behind our technology, and electrochromics is darkening a material using electricity. And what's unique about it is there's electronics in there. So you've got a circuit board, you've got a microprocessor, you have sensors.
All of those electronics have made rearview mirrors more costly. A high-tech mirror can cost car makers 8 times the standard mirror. I put Gentex's new display mirrors to the test in a charcoal gray Acura sedan. First, we use the standard rearview mirror.
Okay. So what we're going to do, why don't you look in your mirrors, adjust them as you would for driving.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. I can't see that bike at all.
Can you see any of the cones back there even?
No.
So we know at a minimum the blind spot is over 20 feet because those cones that were behind us were 20 feet back there and they're 32 inches high. So that little bike, which was 15 feet back there, we can't see at all. So if there was a child on that bike riding by you as you started your car up in the morning to back out for work, you would not see that little kid behind your car.
For most cars, the blind zone is about 10 to 15 feet. It's roughly 15 to 30 feet for trucks and SUVs. Next, we do the test with the video display in the mirror.
Now put your foot on the brake, and then we'll put this in reverse, and then look at the mirror. And boom, there you go.
The little pink bike is only about a half an inch tall on the screen, but I can make it out the instant I put the car in gear. David Champion tests vehicles at Consumer Reports and thinks the mirrors are a promising safety advancement, but he warns that camera location on the back of the vehicle can make all the difference.
Some people put it sort of underneath the lip of the trunk lid, above the license plate, which seems to collect a lot of dirt in that area, especially in these winter conditions where you have muck on the road and it sprays up. That reduces the visibility tremendously of what you can see behind.
Gentex has been shipping the backup camera mirrors to car makers for nearly 4 years. This month, it's shifting manufacturing operations to a new plant down the street to accommodate the expected boom in the high-tech mirror business. That's because the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration is getting involved. It's now reviewing comments from safety groups, businesses, and drivers across the country about proposed changes to require all cars to have some sort of rear-view camera display by 2014. For NPR News, I'm Lindsay Smith.
Support for All Tech Considered comes from Carbonite, providing automatic online backup with anytime, anywhere access for individuals and small businesses. Details at carbonite.com.
This is NPR. This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris, and it's time now for All Tech Considered. We're going to spend some time talking tablet computing in this week's installment. Less than a year after Apple started a touchscreen tablet revolution, the company is already set to release the next generation of the iPad. iPad 2 is supposed to debut this week. Meantime, HP, Samsung, and Motorola are just beginning to offer similar machines. Donald Bell covers tablets for CNET.com, and he joins us now to talk about all of this. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, before we get to some of the iPad competitors, what are some of the new features that Apple might roll out with this new iPad 2?
The pretty obvious new features are it's going to be thinner, it's going to be lighter, it's going to have a camera, probably a front-facing camera so that people can do video chat. But beyond that, I don't think Apple has to do a whole lot to keep their lead and keep people interested.
We mentioned a few, but tell me about some of these other tablets and what they might offer.
Well, the biggest competitor to Apple on the tablet front is Google, and they don't make a tablet specifically, but they make an operating system called Android that is on a lot of these devices. The manufacturers, there's Samsung has a tablet in the race. Motorola has a new one called the Zoom that I just reviewed last week. And then there's a lot of smaller competitors that take that Android operating system and they put them on really inexpensive tablets that aren't great to play with, but they can compete.
Do they all have basic features? Are they all touch screen tablets? Can you expand the image in the way that you can in an iPad if you turn it around? Does the image sort of follow you as you turn the tablet around?
Yeah, and it's a lot of follow the leader. A lot of people know that you know they need to make something that is as like the iPad as possible, but still put their own unique spin on it.
You know, the iPad is basically a platform. The reason that it is as successful as it is, or has been embraced as broadly as it has been, because of all the applications. You can basically use your iPad to do all kinds of things if you are able to, you know, load it up with all kinds of apps. Can you do that with these other tablets?
Not to the point that you can with the iPad. I mean, when they're advertising the iPad or even the iPhone to a certain extent, they're just showing off the apps. They're not even showing off the phone's features anymore at this point. They're just kind of showing off all the fun stuff you can do with apps. And they've got, the last quote was around 60,000 apps just made for the iPad, for the larger screen of the tablet. And right now, Google has finally unveiled their Android 3.0 operating system, which is made for tablets, and are saying that they're ready to start making applications just for that tablet operating system now too. But they're just starting, so there's a lot of catch up involved.
If Apple wants to maintain its first to the market advantage, what will it have to do to stay ahead?
Not much. I'm not necessarily the biggest Apple evangelist, but I do think Apple has done something pretty special with the iPad, which is that they've convinced consumers to buy a product they don't really need. I mean, they've taken smartphones, which is kind of a necessary thing that people need. They've taken laptop computers and traditional desktop computers, and then they've forced them aside a little bit to make a new market of a tablet computer that can kind of straddle both of those, but that there's no precedent for it.
Donald Bell, thanks so much for talking to us.
Oh, it was wonderful talking to you.
Donald Bell is a senior editor at CNET.com.